Hey, church, how y'all doing out there? Good to have you here this morning. We're gonna get right into God's Word this morning, because I know that's why you came here, right? Jenny and I are going to continue our series. We put a pause on the Gospel of John, and we're working our way through this series here called Fight the Good Fight, Biblical Guide to Conflict Reconciliation. As always, if you're joining us for the first time today, or you missed previous weeks, we're thrilled that you're here. But you can always go to our website, go to bmcc.cc. You can see the last 2 weeks that we've covered so far. So we're going to recap real quick, right? We're having a good time with this.
Yeah.
You and I are, anyway.
Yeah, we are.
You know,
yeah.
And not having any conflict, which is a good thing.
I'm going to bring one up.
What's that?
I'm going to bring one up.
You're going to bring one up?
Oh, yeah.
Just one?
Just one.
You know, I think we're still doing pretty good if it's only one.
It was on me. Okay.
No, we'll both probably share times in which we were wrong. So I think the feedback that we're getting from folks is that they're finding it applicable and relevant, so that's a good thing. So, all right, fight the good fight. We just want to recap real quick, though, that our fight is not against one another, it's against the devil. He is the one behind all these things, and so that's why Paul says our fight is not against each other, but against the schemes of the evil one. And so we have to know why we fight the good fight, that there are things worth fighting for, and certainly our relationships to one another, and how that reflects upon our relationship and impacts our relationship to the Lord is something we have to fight for and preserve. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we want to read verses 17, 18, and 19. This gives us the why we fight. You have to know why you want to get in the ring in the first place, and then we'll talk about the strategy that helps you to win, right? How many of you want to win? How many of you want to knock the devil in the teeth?
Yeah.
Okay, this is how you do it. So 2 Corinthians 5, let's read verses 17, 18, and 19 nice and loud. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So why do we fight? And anytime we have a main point, we're going to hit the bell. There it is. All right. Our main point from the first week and really for this series, that the new life that we have in Christ and we experience, how many of you experienced the new life in Christ? How many of you have experienced a new life in Christ?
Amen. Yes.
There we go. That's all, and we love the love and the joy and the peace and all the stuff that we get. We get that because God was willing and able to reconcile us to himself. So then, in the same way, we are to reconcile with one another to give them the opportunity for the new slate, the new start, and for him to do something new. And so, just as the Holy Spirit pursues us to keep us on the right path when we miss the mark, when we fall short, right? Then we are to pursue others, not to prove our point or to say I was right and you were wrong, but to pursue them as proof of our love for one another, right? That's the reason for it. And so that's the why. And so that leads us to the winning strategy, and we are eventually really going to get to the real life scenarios and things. And if you have any concerns or like specifics like that you'd like us to address, then let us know. But the winning strategy is not complicated in Matthew 18, but it does require diligence, discipline, and grace. Meaning you got to do it over and over and over and over and over again. All right. So what is that strategy? Let's read Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. If he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. And so we covered last week really step one, which is really the most difficult step of all, and that is going to the person ourselves individually with understanding, to gain understanding, to reconcile. That's the step that people don't want to do, But that's step one, right? And really, as we move into step two and three today, our main point is this, and that is conflict reconciliation, right? Not just resolution, because a resolution can be in which two people still disagree, they agree to disagree. Reconciliation, which the Bible says is actually bringing together and mending again and knitting together that which was broken apart. Conflict reconciliation is a spiritual discipline that we often will view as necessary for the other person. Well, they need to grow. They need, because they did this, that, the other thing. But the reality of it is, it's really about our own growth and health and maturity. That's what the process is about. It's about what God is doing in our hearts that it causes us to grow. And that's what brings about the greater health and wholeness of the body of Christ, because the body is only as healthy as the individuals who make it up. And so it starts with you and me. Right.
It's funny that he says about the body, because when you think about it, it would be really bad if your hand wasn't getting along with your arm, right? Like, think about it. That might sound silly, but like if you were like trying to reach for something and your arm didn't want to move, but your hand wanted to pick it up. And that's kind of what happens in the body of Christ when we're not all working together. Because I felt the Lord wanted me to read this scripture from Psalm 133. It says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity." And this is how it describes unity. "It is like a precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard." Who's got a beard in here? Do you ever pour oil on your beard?
Duffy.
Did you just raise your hand? No. Oh, you're pointing. Okay. If a girl raises her hand, right? Okay, anyway, lost my spot. Okay, this is what happens. This is how I started my day. I confused the cumin this morning for the cinnamon. And that is how my day started. Mm. You can pray for me. Okay. Oops, I'm going to drop my Bible.
Did you put that in my tea, too?
My Bible's falling apart. No, I didn't.
Okay.
No, I didn't. No.
Otherwise, we'd have conflict. We'd have to reconcile.
You know, it's a bad day. Yeah. So it is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edges of his robe. It is like the dew of Hermon, coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. And I write in here in my Bible, where there is unity, there is anointing. When we are united as a team, we get a win, right? So that's what we want in the body of Christ. If one person's not playing nice, right, and not, then you have a struggle and it doesn't work well. So that's why it's mature to work things out and everybody to be on the same page again in the same team.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
All right, so step one, go to the person with the intent of gaining understanding. And again, we're not going to rehash everything we covered over the last 2 weeks, but Matthew 18 begins with, if your brother sins against you, and how much of our offense is actually really sin and just really a matter of style, right? Or miscommunication or misperception or expectations or whatever, that we can go with the person, sit down and have a non-accusatory conversation in which we gain understanding. We go, oh, okay, I see why you did that, and now I understand, and I don't have reason to be offended, right? So that's that. So that's step one. We want to move into step two and three. Right, and we're going to spend a lot of time with step two, because there's anytime there's a strategy, that there is an opportunity for it to be misunderstood and misapplied, and so we want to address those things. So step number two is to use a neutral third party arbitrator. That's what he says. If the person doesn't receive you, go get somebody else. And I have Proverbs 18:17 repeated here, because there's a little different emphasis, or emphasis if you want. The first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. So that's why you bring somebody in who's neutral, because they're able to look at it and go, man, that seems like you might have a valid, offense there, or, hey, that seems really a bit like excessive, or you're sure that's not just within you, right? And we will listen to it. So yeah. We want to talk about that a little bit. Really, when you go to a neutral, a third party, some criteria there that you want it to be a spiritually mature person. I have Proverbs 18:17 repeated there. Someone else who is wiser than you.
Yeah, because sometimes you can go to that person, somebody who's spiritually mature, somebody who's done this before, right? Like if you want to lose weight, you go to ask somebody who's lost weight how you do it. If you want to go into conflict resolution, go to someone who's done conflict resolution and reconciliation, because that is the goal. Remember the goal, the vision, is to go to the person so that you can be reconciled, so that you can work it out, right? So we don't want to just take somebody who agrees with us. We don't want to just take our bestie because they agree with us and they see our point and they don't even like the other person either and all those things. Think about who you're taking with you. Take a spiritually mature person. But not necessarily a church leader yet, especially in the body of Christ. Don't take a church leader yet or a pastor, because they'll feel ganged up on. They might feel like, oh, the pastor, you told the pastor, you told the leader, why didn't you just come to me? Make sure you go to them first. Then you might take somebody, and you could even tell them, you know, you're not listening to what I'm saying. You're not hearing me. I need to find somebody. We need to work this out with someone. So you may end up, after you do step one, telling the person, we're going to need a step two with someone. And you might even be able to ask them, who would you feel comfortable with us having here as our person that listens? So we're not going with the intention of being right and airing our hurt, simply to just air it. We want to go ready to listen even more than we're talking, right?
You know, whenever I take that deep breath, it's because I'm about to go off script.
Okay, go ahead. I just did, so go ahead.
Yeah, I know. Well, why not? I'm not feeling 100% this morning, so I'm not doing handshakes and hugs and all that stuff, so don't be offended by that, okay? That's style, right? And the end result of that is that because I'm a little on edge, I'm probably going to be just a little more blunt than I usually am with and have less filters.
More
so,
than usual?
So.
Whoa, wake up. Watch out, everybody.
You know, like we train our kids, you know, like, if you have an issue with a peer, your first go talk. You know, don't come running to the parents and be a tattletale. Well, they said, look, you have to work that out. You have to learn to work that out. You know, amongst yourselves first. If you don't get the resolution, then you get appeal to a higher authority. Okay, but in this whole idea of, you know, I can't do that. That's kind of the point. God moves us out of our control, our comfort zone. And expands that where it becomes our comfort zone, because that's what he does, right? Because we rely on his strength made manifest in our weakness. And this whole culture that says, man, I need a safe place. I can't talk about those things, or I can't, you know, that, listen, you got in that place because you didn't work through and develop the skill of going to somebody and working it out face to face. And you don't overcome that unless you start doing those disciplines. And this is the culture that we're building here, where I can't, everyone's offended by everything, and I can't have any conversation with anybody because I feel unsafe. And that's garbage, and that's going to lead you to a life that is just nothing but a prison. So develop the skill. Go to the person, work it out, right? And then if not, okay, now I'll get, you know, somebody who has maybe more wisdom or insight, and I'll bring them. But you have got to get into this place where you take the first step and go, all right? That's how you get to be mature. That's how you gain wisdom. All
right. Right. Not somebody. Okay. So we're not going with the intent of finding someone who will simply agree with our version, right? And we want to go ready to listen. Proverbs 18:1-2 says, "He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind." I'm going to take my ball and go home, right? I'm just going to leave. He who separates himself, well, I'm not going to go to church because I'm just going to stay home, because if I see them, I'm just not going to know what to say. Or I told 2 weeks ago, I'm going to go to second service because they always go to first service, or vice versa. You know, I'm going to do as much as I can to stay away from that person. That is not healthy. We have to go face to face. I actually like it when I run into somebody at the store that we've had, you know, conflict over the years, because I get to say hi and it kind of like breaks the ice. And even if they don't respond, that's okay. I did, you know, I have to do what I, and it makes me stronger than if I run away cowering. You know, we want to be straightforward, be kind, because you never know what God is doing in that person's life. He might be speaking to them. He might be that person, say it's somebody at church, might be thinking, I wish I could have an opportunity to talk to them because I would love to apologize, but I feel like they're avoiding me. Well, they are avoiding, right? So if you could just come together, and you might have to have many, many conversations. The people I have the closest relationships with are the people I've had the most conflict with or friction with. We're BFFs, honey, forever, right?
Yeah, I mean, that idea of avoidance, yeah. Though, right? I mean, like, the proverb says, you know, the righteous have nothing to fear from the law because you're upright, right? And the other part of it, like, is, you know, those who mistreat you, okay? Because, and we'll talk about this, right? There's a reality that you're going to find not every situation is going to work out. First of all, Matthew 18 is directed towards two believers.
Right,
that's first and foremost. Two believers who had the Spirit of God within them. You know, if you have two believers who had the genuine Spirit of God within them, there's no reason that can't work out. Because the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, the fruits of the Spirit of power, love, and sound judgment is going to win out every time because the Spirit is humble.
That's right.
Now, you get into a situation where that's not present, okay? Maybe you have a non-believer or someone who's immature, okay? And they're going to take their ball and go home, all right, whatever. All right, that's not the attitude of Christ. And so, you know, you've done your part, and now you carry on. And, you know, you walk, and if you see somebody who's, you know, first of all, if you're avoiding them in a store, you're going to end up walking down an aisle just to pretend that you're not, you know, and you're going to buy something that's not healthy for you, whatever, because you don't want to go down that aisle. So that's stupid. Now you're hurting. Now there's a ripple effect here that's compounding, right? The other part of it is the proverb says that, you know, the ones who mistreat you, when you're kind to them, you heap burning coals on top of their head. So there's nothing better than walking, hey, how you doing? I can't believe, and let them go home and stew about it. I can't believe they had a dollar. That's, you. If you want to waste your time with that, have at it, right? But I choose to live differently and not be wrapped up in that stuff and live in the freedom and live in the joy and live in the peace that the Holy Spirit brings you. So,
that's right.
You know, so.
Yeah, and you know, when you go to somebody, well, I was going to say, Nancy always told her kids, kill them with kindness, right? Right? When they were, if somebody was mean to her kids, you kill them with kindness. You be nice to them, you know, as much as you can. But when you go to someone with an offense and you go on your own, it says if he listens to you, you've won your brother over. That doesn't necessarily always mean if he completely agrees with you. If he hears what you're saying, apologizes for how it made you feel, and didn't just walk away from you, right? But remember that we could be wrong in our assumptions.
What?
I know.
No.
Yeah. We could be completely wrong in what that person even meant when they said something or did something, their intention. So we always want to give people the benefit of the doubt. If there is doubt, give them the benefit, right? Well, they might not have been thinking that. Lord, and pray for them. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, but pray for them, because you might pray for them and then pray, Lord, give me eyes to see what you want me to see, and then you might not even be offended anymore. Then you don't have to go to them because you're not even offended because you've worked it out in your own heart. So sometimes the best thing is, you know, it is always the best thing. Go to God first. And if God says you need to go to them, then you go to them. If they don't listen and they don't care and want to reconcile and they're having an attitude that's not godly, then you say, well, we go to church together and I want to work this out. We're going to have to talk with somebody about this because we have to get to the bottom of this so we can reconcile. Most of the time, it won't even get there if you go and do that. Do those steps in order.
Right.
So it's so important. Jesus gave us the outline, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And then if you do need to go to somebody, you know, get a neutral third party, choose wisely when you do that, okay? Be mindful. Again, we're not going and like Jenny said, finding the six people that we've already talked to, pre-talked to, who already agree with us, right? For the married couples, all the married couples got your ears on? Don't ever go to your parents unless you are both coming for counsel, because here's what happens. You go home and you go home and cry to mom or dad about your spouse, and what happens? You go back and you work it out and things are, and you're back in love again, but in your parents' eyes now you have shaded that your spouse, and they're going to carry that unless you come back and say, hey, we worked it out and I was wrong, right? I was wrong. I often am. It was my, you have discolored your spouse to your parents. And the same way, going the other way, you know, when your parents, when you're older, don't go to your kids and make the, use them as pawns, that is a recipe for disaster. So don't do it.
Yeah.
Find somebody who's going to be unbiased, all right? Unless you are coming together to say, Mom, Dad, you know, we're struggling, and I know you've been through this, we're looking to you for guidance. That's a completely different issue, right? But if you're having conflict, you don't go to your parents, you don't go to your kids.
That's right.
All right? You want to talk about how many conversations?
Yeah. So if you keep going to a bunch of people, that's the other thing. You don't want to just go to 30 people and tell them your issue. And then if you go to that person and you realize you were wrong, or you finally find out that you weren't right, now you have 30 people to apologize to because you just shaded that person. You know, and it's so important. The more people you talk to, the more likely it is to fall into sin. Because where there are many words, sin abounds. Like, sometimes we just, right? And we word vomit, for lack of a better term. I'm sure there's a better term, but I'm not thinking of it right now. But we just say everything we're thinking and everything we're feeling, and we're really mad and we're really hurt. I can't believe this person, blah, blah, blah. And if they knew what I do for them, and blah, 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 and all these things. And then later we're like, God's like, hello, you gonna listen to me? Oh, sorry, God. You know, sorry, Lord. And then you feel awful. But the more we can speak life into our relationships, kindness, and this is not, you know, we kind of joke, it's not like a Disney movie where everybody's singing and getting along, but it does say in the Word that we should sing to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to God. I mean, literally, you know, I love you, you're the most amazing person in the world, and the Lord has anointed you to preach the gospel. And, you know, and if we were like singing to one another, speaking life into one another, man, don't we suddenly feel good? And this is what I'm going to share about. So the other day, okay, so the song we shared this morning, if you were here for the very first song, that was a new song that I have been working on since probably April. And a piece of the song was actually from something that I wrote back in 2010. So it was a long time. And the reason I'm saying this is because I've been working on it, and I said to Cliff, I was actually starting to get frustrated with it, because it's, you know how when you get a song stuck in your head, you can't figure out the words? I had a song stuck in my head, and I didn't know what words to put in it. And I was like, Lord, this song is in my head. I don't know what the verse is. What do you want it to say? I don't know how to, please help me, Lord. And I'd sit with it, and I'm writing all these ideas down, and nothing was rhyming, right? Nothing was working. And so the one morning, right before Wednesday morning, before our we had practice at night, my goal was to get this song done by practice. That was my goal. I'd been working on this song enough. I need to get this done. Well, Cliff and I had a little friction about the garbage. Right? I mean, hello, right?
I'm calling it the milk box incident.
Oh, is that what your milk box
That's
incident
what it says.
Was?
Yeah.
Oh, we both had the same incident, but I had a different. Okay. Anyway, this is embarrassing. This is so weird to stand up here.
Because I know nobody else has ever had a ridiculous argument.
Yeah, right?
Over something incredibly stupid.
Yeah. He thought one piece of trash could stay in the house for one more week and go out next week. I thought it needed to go out immediately.
It was a cardboard box that was downstairs in the basement.
Yeah. So anyway, you guys, cast your vote, okay? So anyway, he was thinking that I was thinking something, and I was thinking that he was thinking something.
And let's call it what it is. All right, I'll move on.
Whoa,
I'm
going to
call it what it is. Well,
go ahead.
All right. I then said, oh, how about the box downstairs? I said, it's fine. It doesn't have to go out. 2 minutes later, Jenny's downstairs getting the box out. And in my mind, okay, this is what we talk about, why most offenses are within ourselves. Okay? How stupid is it for me to be offended that my wife says, I'll go get it? Because what happened in my fragile male ego said, my word's not good enough, she has to prove it. I'm not, what I say isn't good enough. Now, how much of that is in Jenny?
None.
Thank you. It's all right here.
Right. But I was listening to this. Wait, I'm saying, but I, let me take one, Jeff, right? That was the
story. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was wrong. I often am.
What he didn't know was that I was listening to a podcast over here, and the lady just said, the way you do anything is the way you do everything. I'm like, I got to go down and get that box. I got to throw my trash out. So he didn't know that I was hearing that, and I wasn't asking him if he took the box out because I was pointing blame. I was just curious. Is the box still downstairs? I'll go get it, right? So some of it was in me because I should have obeyed my husband. So I told him, I'm sorry if you felt that I didn't obey you. I apologize. That was not in my heart. And he's like, no, you know. And we both, like, you know, kind of laughed it off. But between that, before we had the conversation where we reconciled, I was outside and I was working. And I was, like, scrubbing moss off the shed and whatnot. And I was talking to God. And I was thinking things. I was frustrated, right, that we were having an argument over trash. And
a cardboard box this big.
A cardboard box, yeah. Felt like a refrigerator box, you know. But anyway, I was scrubbing, and these thoughts were going through my head, and I just felt the Holy Spirit say, just be thankful. So I just said, Lord, I thank you for my husband. I thank you for everything he does for me. I thank you, Lord, that we have a great relationship and we get to serve you in the body of Christ. I thank you for all that Cliff is. And I'm wiping, and the song started coming. And the Lord said to me, so are you writing the song for your band and your church to sing? Are you writing it for me? I said, Lord, I'm writing it for you. And the song came, and we practiced it Wednesday and we did it Sunday. I know, that's God. But if you feel stuck, you are probably the cork in the bottle. Because when you get stuck, it's because there's something that you have not done that the Lord has told you to do. And he says, I'm going to wait right here until you do that thing. Until you go and talk to that person. Till you reconcile. Till you decide to be thankful for that person instead of complaining about them all the time. Until you decide to praise me instead of speaking negative words. This is an every single day battle. And you're going to have days where everything's going to be pretty good. And then the next day, you're thinking, am I even a Christian? Right? And that's a joke. But, you know, you think, you know, am I the things of Lord, you know, am I saved? I need you, Jesus, you know. But the Lord wants to come alongside of us to help us have an abundant life and to write the songs. What is it that the Lord's put on your life to do? That you need to stop focusing on this little box that's silly and focus on the God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, seated on the throne. And who cares about the box? The backdrop of eternity, right? So I just want to share that with you so you know if you're feeling stuck, ask the Lord, what's the cork?
Right. Yep. So this is all under, you know, that finding that neutral third party.
We're
right?
Way off.
That's all right. Am I gathering, is this teachable moments here? Is this real life application stuff? Okay. All right, well, no. Okay.
Yes. Run from gossip. Yep. Gossip, right?
Go ahead, you can take the first part.
Yep, okay.
There's a 1-2 punch coming.
Okay, Proverbs 17:9, let's read it together. He who conceals a transgression seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates friends. Now think about that. Have you ever repeated a matter and then it could have possibly brought separation to a friend? Do you know what they said about you? I'm just going to let you know that they don't even really like you. I just want to let you know so you can pray about this situation. Please don't tell anyone I said anything. If it starts off with, please don't tell anyone I said anything, you need to stop talking. He who conceals a transgression. The Bible says, set a guard, O Lord, over my tongue. A guard, to me, it's like a little man standing on the edge of the tongue that's like, nope, 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 don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it. Right? How many of us slip into it? We slip into it. He who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter and has to talk about it to everybody and gossip about it to everybody and throw it on Facebook and throw it on Instagram, and you are just digging yourself a hole when you do that, right? So we don't want to separate intimate friends. And then Proverbs 20:19, let's read that together. He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. If you feel like your friends are walking away from you, think about what you might be saying. Are you gossip? Because if a friend will gossip to you about someone else, they're gossiping about you to someone else. So be cautious. If you're a person that tends to want to overshare or overtalk, we can very easily fall into that transgression. So gossip is easy to slip into, or slander, which causes the other person to think less than the other person. Slander will actually cause someone else to think less of another person, right? I think that was all my story.
Yeah, you know, like Jenny says, if the words, you know, don't tell anyone, come on, right? It's like, bear with me here. How does every racist joke start?
Yeah, right, exactly.
If you find yourself, stop. Romans chapter 1, Paul says, just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Now he's talking about the big social issue in the church, the LGBT issues and identification and all those things, and I don't want to get into that, and I don't want any hoot and holler or any of that stuff. We know it's a real issue. We know people who identify and wrestle with it, and God's got to work in there. But that's what he's addressing the church. And look what he says. That because they exchanged the natural function for the unnatural, what? Being filled with unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, envy, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. Man, a church likes to get up in arms about social issues, but when you hit, say, gossip, you go, that's okay. And I'm telling you that the Lord takes an incredibly dim view of it. On an equal standing with some of the other things that we look at and say, that's so horrendous. Our responsibility, if you have the Spirit of the living God inside you, our responsibility is to put fires out, not start them or spread them. So, again, I'm going to quote Jenny. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. How many people are we going to? Where are we going? And is it about us? Is it about the other person? What? Are you spreading fire? You're pouring gasoline on a thing? Or are you trying to douse it? Okay. I read an article. I saw this article. It was about 2 weeks ago now. Out in California. California's getting ravaged by wildfires, right? You all know what's happening out there, right? And so much to the point that certain communities, they can't even insure their homes anymore because of the risk. You can't get house insurance. And so the guy built his house, and he said, I can't get homeowner's insurance, he said, because of the forest fires. So he invested, I don't know how many, like it's like five digits worth, in his own firefighting defense system for his house. And it worked. His is the only house standing out there in this community where everything else got ravaged. And I thought, now here's a guy who said, I'm willing, no matter the cost, I am not going to let this fire take my house. So what extent are you willing to go to protect your house and put the fire out? Amen. Or are you going to say, just let it go? Prayer groups are prayer groups, not share groups, like Jenny said. What happens in small group stays in small group. We got our men's retreat coming up. And we joke about it and we say it, you know. What happens at men's retreat stays at men's retreat. You want to come home and tell your family about all the amazing things God did in your life? Absolutely. Have at it. That's your story to tell. Don't say a word about what's going on in somebody else's life. That's their story to tell, not yours. It's in our membership Covenant, it's in our membership guidelines, right? Confidentiality is one of our top values here. Confidentiality. This has to be, and not just a Sunday morning, but anything and everything that's got a Blue Mountain Community Church stamp on it has got to be a place in which people can feel safe and secure to come and share and know that that's going to stay there, and that people who are going to come alongside and honorably work alongside and pour into them and let God's word minister and let the Holy Spirit minister without it being blabbed all over the place. The moment that gets broken, it becomes an unsafe place, and we have a reputation then that is that will kill the church from the inside out like that. And so, yeah, Rick and Nancy before us, Jenny and I now, we're a bit of a bulldog when it comes to this kind of stuff. Because you can come in with whatever mess you're coming from, because that's what happens in the world. You get beat up, you fall, you make mistakes. And so you come in and you need God's grace, you need his word to be transformed. And that's why we say, come as you are, with zero expectations, zero judgment. You come as long as you want and let the Holy Spirit work. But we will take a very quick and dim view of anyone who wants to turn around and spread malicious things or breach confidentiality and make this an unsafe place. Because the moment that happens, we're not a hospital anymore. And this is going to continue to be a safe place for people to come and get healed.
That's right.
So, unless you have explicit permission from somebody who says, yes, please share this with whatever prayer team or small group or ministry, whatever it is, your responsibility is to carry that. And you carry as long as you say, okay, I got this information. I'm going to pray with you right here and now. And now I carry that simply to the foot of Jesus and say, here you go, Lord, you carry the rest of it. We don't have to carry it around, all this stuff, you know. That's not your burden to bear even. You give it to Jesus. You're a conduit. You're a pass-through for stuff. Not a sprinkler system. All right? This idea of being offended at, I didn't know that, right? That's within you. That's a pride. That's a control issue within you. And listen, I got this because my dad was in a hospital. When he went in the hospital, he told me, don't tell anybody. So I respect his wishes because it's his life, not mine. He told the friends that he wanted to tell, and that was enough. And what happened? When he passed, I wasn't even home from the hospital yet when somebody I haven't worked with in 3 years called me and said, hey, I heard your dad passed away. I'm like, how in the world? My sister didn't even know at that point. And yet it's being spread. So, you know, oh, I didn't know. There's a reason for that. Trust. Say, okay, well, I know now, and right, I can pray now or be a support now, but this whole I got to be involved and I got to know, that's nothing to do with maturity. That's all of you want to be a busybody, and that's exactly what Paul talked about in Timothy, warning people. Said this is why I don't let women talk in the church, for that reason. So we don't want to be that church. You don't want to be that person. So zip it. Amen.
Well, you just told him to zip it. So.
That's true. I'll score that point. Okay. All right, confidentiality leads to safety, and safety is what leads to growth. Mm-hmm. I love that at Elevate, our junior and senior high ministry, you know, the vision statement for Elevate is to be a safe place where all teens know that they are loved and they matter to us and matter to Jesus, right? And I know from talking with them that they feel like it's a safe place. I can come, I can be myself, and I can wrestle with life, and I know it's a safe place. And so that's and you know, excitement is growing there, and the group's growing and all that stuff, and I see incredible growth there, right? Because it's a safe place. So side note, shout out, next month we're gonna have a Sunday service Elevate style. You don't wanna miss that. That's gonna be fantastic. So that's that. But anyway, all right, so confidentiality, remember your three witness principle, meaning, you know, this is all part of step two, okay? We're not spreading things unnecessarily, and if you go to two or three people who all tell you, you know what, I think you're overreacting there, it pays to listen to that, okay? Listen, don't get, Lord, work in my heart, okay? We actually have at the church the third level ministry of conflict resolution and reconciliation. The ministry has been around for, I'm going to guess, about 30 years, maybe 20.
It's been a while.
20, well, it was 2000, before 20, 26, 27 years. The folks who serve in that ministry, it's been used so infrequently, they probably forgot they're even on that ministry. But I want to let you know is that if you're in a place where you go, I don't know who to go to, you can talk to one of us, and I will point you to folks who have said, yes, I am willing to serve on that ministry as an arbitrator, as a neutral third party, if you don't have anybody else that you can go to. That's the point of all that, is that we have folks who are seasoned, veteran, mature believers who can say, yes, I'm willing to do that. All right?
I was going to say, before we go on, I just want to...
We got like 4 minutes.
I want to say one thing, though. I think with husband and wife, your husband, when you share something to him, he should keep it in his heart. When he shares something with you, keep it in your heart. That this is a safe place. That is so important. That a husband and wife is... And it's not... I just want to let you know, Cliff is dealing with this, 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 and this. Like, I'm going to pray with him, and we're going to give it to God. And, you know, the box illustration is, if somebody shares something with you, stick it in a box, and we give it to God. We stick it in a box, and we pray, and we give it to God. And that is how we have to treat one another and love one another and keep this a safe place. And you may have one person that you two have agreed on that you can talk with or they can talk with, you know, but not going about, and again, putting it on social media or something like that where it's hurting your relationship, because it won't heal then.
Right. Okay. You have Psalm 119, yep, which kind of goes along with that.
Yeah. So Psalm 119:52 says, I have remembered your ordinances from of old, O Lord, and comfort myself. So you know that you could be your own pastor to your own heart through the word of God. God's word helps you to heal, and it ministers to your heart. So there are ways that not just giving yourself a pep talk, but letting God's word give you a pep talk. When you're going through a situation, going to God's word, letting his word come to your mind and to your heart, as Nancy has the hidden hearts for the ladies, but that you're remembering God's word so that we won't sin against God, but that we can comfort ourselves from the word of God. And a lot of times, not that we don't need other people, because we definitely need other people, but that we don't always need somebody to be telling us that we're amazing or that we're right or that we're okay. Let God's word speak to you that you are his and that you are fearfully and wonderfully made and you're everything that he's designed you to be. So if we finish out with Psalm 139.
Yep.
Okay, so to finish out Psalm 139.
Getting there.
At the end of that, this is all, you know, you formed me in my mother's womb. I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. When I sit down or rise up, you know it. But it ends with David saying to the Lord, search me, O God. Read it with me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Yeah. So conflict reconciliation is a spiritual discipline that we can view as necessary for the growth and maturity of the other person, but it's really about our own growth and maturity. It's us changing.
Final bell.
So what is God working in your heart today? What relationships do you need to reconcile? What do you need to reconcile in your own heart? And recognize, you know, Lord, I want to be reconciled to you. I want to be reconciled to myself. Make my heart right. See if there's any hurtful way in me. Get it out of me. I don't want it in there. I want you in there. You fill me, Lord. And then will you serve in the ministry of reconciliation? And that doesn't mean a ministry, like a organized ministry, but will you just be a person that helps other people to work through conflict, that you work through conflict, and you help us grow as a body of Christ? Will you do that? All right. So if you would... just bow your head and close your eyes. We're gonna close in prayer. Did you want to do the altar call, or do you want me to do it? Okay. All right.
You have your music team coming up.
Yeah, music team, you can come up. We're gonna share the new song again, so you can learn it. Lord Jesus, we just come before you. We thank you that you are a God that has reconciled yourself to us and us to you. And Jesus, you want us to work it out, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, to go to one another, to go to a brother or sister when we feel offended, or just to talk through situations and heart, Lord. Help us, Jesus, to have excellent relationships in our church and even outside, in our families, in our homes. I pray for marriages that are struggling. I pray for the husbands and the wives to love one another the way Christ loved the church. I pray for our children to obey and honor their parents, and for the parents to treat their children with respect and honor in return. We thank you, Lord, for a healthy, strong church. And we look forward to what you have for us, Lord, as we continue to grow and expand. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, everybody, just if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life and you want him to lead your life, you've never done it God's way and you want to do it his way, just ask you to look up at me and raise your hand so I can see you, and I'll agree with you that you're asking Jesus in your heart today. Anybody want to give Jesus your life today? Okay. All right. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We honor you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.